Please be seated. I suppose you would say that this sermon has a prologue or a foreword or some such thing, because I do need to acknowledge here among you what word I sent out last Friday when I announced that I will be retiring as Bishop of Missouri in 2 years. It takes a long time to replace someone like me. Part of that length of time is because of a newly enhanced background check for those who would be nominees. Part of it is that the canonical processes grind very slowly. I have loved these 16 years of being Bishop of Missouri, and certainly have cherished every occasion when I've been able to be here among you, the faithful of the Church of St. Michael and St. George. I love this place. It will be a part of me always. And what comes next is not entirely clear. I know that I'm going to lay this role down. I don't know if I'm going to put my feet up, although that is one possibility. But it's also possible that I will take up another Episcopal ministry in another venue. Enough of that. And now I get to turn to the really interesting stuff, which is about Philip the Deacon and the Ethiopian eunuch, which is, you know, when I hear the story read out loud, it just seems sort of flat. And this is a story that bears close attention to the details, because there is a lot going on in here, beyond the surface of what we hear and see. So I'm going to try to paint the scene for you, which begins with an angel showing up and telling Philip to head south on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is not a heavily traveled road. The scripture says that it's a wilderness road. It's more of a trail than anything else. And so Philip obeys. It's better to do what angels tell you to do. And on his journey on this deserted road, he encounters a diplomat from a far-off land. That is very odd. It is rather like hiking the Ozark Trail from here all the way down into Arkansas, and on the way you happen to run into the foreign minister of Sweden. That is not very likely. Nor is it very likely for Philip to encounter this foreign diplomat on an out-of-the-way road. When Philip does, the angel says to him, go talk to him. And again, it's best to do whatever angels tell you. So Philip runs to catch up with the chariot. Now, I want you to see that in your mind's eye. Philip running along to catch up with the powerful man in the chariot. And he begins conversation with him while he is still running. And the first thing that he notices while he is still running is that the man is reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. How does Philip know that it's Isaiah? It's not because he steals a glimpse from the scroll as he's running along. It's because everyone in the ancient world reads out loud. This business of reading without moving your lips, that's a modern thing. Your first grade teacher would not approve of vocalizing the words this way, but it's what they did in the ancient world. So Philip knows that this diplomat is reading from the scroll of Isaiah. The man invites Philip into the chariot to continue the conversation in some greater depth. And so he does. He joins this black man, this powerful man, a learned man, someone who is so intent on learning God's word that he is reading from a scroll as he is bumping along a not very good highway. He is going to learn this up. He's serious about what he's doing. And a small detail that might escape our attention, he has his own scroll. Nobody owned books back in the day. Books were too expensive, too precious, copied by hand as they had to be. Communities owned books, and they were accustomed to hearing them read aloud. That's how you passed along the information. This man is rich enough to have a copy of his own. He is a man with a purpose, and he is trying to figure out, it seems, how he might come to belong among God's people. And he has a problem, because there is a piece of his life that would keep him from belonging to God's people. Deuteronomy 23 is clear about this. Eunuchs do not count when numbering God's people. They are an excluded group. They can stand on the sidelines, they can watch, they can listen, but they may not join in. And specifically, eunuchs are excluded from worshiping in the temple in Jerusalem. And this man has been to Jerusalem. Imagine him there and imagine him on the sideline, not able to join in. But there is something about him that hungers after God, craves God, someone who reads the prophets, pores over these dusty old books, trying to find a way. A powerful man, a rich man, a deeply intelligent man, but there's a sadness about him. A part of him left unfulfilled despite all that he has and all that he is, which is not an uncommon sadness in our own day. It is such a common sorrow that people are made to feel that they do not belong. Philip continues this conversation with the man in the chariot. And taking a cue from this piece of Isaiah, the piece that the man has been reading out loud, Philip tells him the Jesus story, which is not a different story from the story of Isaiah. In fact, you might say that the Jesus story picks up where the book of Isaiah leaves off. There is continuity. It is as if The man in the chariot has been preparing his whole life to hear what Philip has to say to him. This is not so much a spur of the moment decision as it is a life's quest. Perhaps somewhere along the way, Philip has told the man that baptism is the ordinary means by which one joins into the continuation of the Jesus story, and how one becomes a part of God's people. So they happen upon an oasis, unexpected water in the desert. And the man says, "Look, there's water." And listen for the anxiety in his next question. "What is there to keep me from being baptized?" That's not an idle question, because there is still this matter of his physical condition as a eunuch, a physical condition that has kept him from being a part of God's people all these years. And he wants to know, what's to keep me out this time? What's to keep me from being baptized? Nothing. Nothing is to prevent it. And so after a lifetime of searching for this place to belong among God's people, he enters the water and Philip baptizes him. And from that point forward, he belongs. A black man, a powerful man, a man of letters, a man of world politics, is now brought into the most important story in the world. There is so much unlikeliness intertwined in this story, which makes it such a sweet one. And such good news to all of us, dear friends. Good news that is here to touch our own alienation, the ways that we are made to feel that we don't belong. However wounded we are by our riches or power or intelligence, there is a place to belong. Here is a place to belong. And the reverse of these conditions are true also. However wounded we are by our poverty, abused by those who have power over us when we don't, limited by the condition of our ignorance, this is a place to belong. The place of belonging begins in the waters of baptism, just as it did for that powerful diplomat. The place of belonging is marked by the Lord's table, where we gather week by week to continue the feast, to find our spiritual nurture. It's not a table, for perfect people. People who have their act together. It's a table for lonely people, hurt people, hungry people, sinners, just trying to find a way. Sometimes we get it just right, and sometimes we don't get it at all. Sometimes we say, "No Ethiopians." Sometimes we say, "No eunuchs." The gospel truth proclaimed by Philip had everything to say to Ethiopians and everything to say to eunuchs. Everything to say to every one of us. the untold ending to this story, and there is one, and it's the untold ending that Luke likes to draw our imagination toward. That ending goes something like this. This unnamed man from Ethiopia becomes the first Gentile to be baptized. Such an unlikely first, but here he is. And this newly baptized man with a Jesus story now in his life takes it with him into a distant land, an exotic land, into the courts of the Ethiopian queen, and tells the story from that point on. Luke's purpose is to show how the gospel of Jesus Christ travels to the ends of the earth. And this is one of the agents carrying the gospel with him. The good news of the resurrected Jesus still does this sort of thing. And it will happen in the course of our lives in our own unlikely circumstances. There is no stopping it. And we unlikely people, included in the Jesus story now, get the grand privilege of living it and of savoring it and drawing other people into it. And also to the ends of the earth. Amen.